Hi, this is Mike Swanson of WallStreetWindow.com. We've got a really special guest today. It's Michael Panzer, who has written several books over the years that had a huge influence on my own trading and thinking when it comes to the stock market. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me and my listeners.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to kind of get an update on what your thinking is now in a second, but I just want to tell you, you wrote three books, and the first one was Rules of Stock Market Jungle. It came out, I think it was 2004 or 5 or so.
When
I read that book, it really explained to me how the market was changing, the dynamics of the market were changing. In the past, is basically ruled by individual investors, and then the hedge funds came in and really were dominating the trading volume. And in that book, you're showing how that could lead to problems down the road, and darn if it didn't, with derivatives and all sorts of stuff. And your next book was Financial Armageddon in 2008, and that came out in spring or summer, and I vividly remember reading it because I was bearish on the market at the time, and you know, thought the banks were going to be in trouble and all this kind of stuff was going to happen. And my thinking was, short the stock market and go long gold, because I thought, well, the Fed will have to print money and bail everything out. But then when I read your book, you point out how gold could drop too, and that got me really cautious, and I sold those positions ahead of the crash and was real happy to do that. And your book really helped me to think about what was going on. It was predicted how things were going to unfold. And in it, you kind of laid out four risks to the economy and the market in a couple of chapters you have in part two. You got economic malaise, systemic crisis, depression, hyperinflation, and the systemic crisis was what we were living through at the time. So I was hoping you could update us on where you think we are now and what you see in the future.
Well, I think the scenario still holds. I think there's some element of overlap in all those phases, and obviously when you're writing something, a book, there is a sequence, so it's not always easy to capture that. I did try to capture the sense that there would be cross currents going on, that in certain parts of the economy, certain things would be happening at one point or another, and similarly in other parts of the economy, they may be further along. And obviously, it was always difficult to predict exactly the sequence of events when there's politics involved, when there's decision making involved by fallible humans. But overall, I still think it's a process, and the process is still following along those lines that you laid out. I think we're clearly in the sort of systemic crisis / depressionary phase, but I think there's some hints of what's to come, and clearly we've seen worldwide a sense among central bankers in particular, where the old rules about prudence and the old rules about printing money are slowly fading away, and the monetary process is becoming more and more politicized and seen more and more as a way to support the sense of what the fiscal policymakers are doing. And that really is how things are going to end up, creating a really bad inflationary scenario. So I guess I'd have to say that whereas before the era you talked about, we were sort of in phase 1/2, I think we're in 2/3 and hints of 4, which was really the final phase.
Well, for investors, how does that final phase, how is it different than what we've seen before? Like the past couple years, the stock market's been going up. Do you think that would continue to happen because of inflation, or do you think we'd see another sort of bear market or meltdown even?
Well, this is a recurring question, and clearly the response by the Federal Reserve, I think, was probably more concentrated than I expected in some regards. And the way it played out in the markets was probably a little bit more dramatic in terms of the impact it's had on stocks than I would have thought. But, you can't predict the future completely. Otherwise, you could just really call it a day and retire forever.
But that's right.
I do think that the risk here is that people think, okay, well, if we're heading into that kind of an environment, you have to own stocks because stocks did okay in other eras where there was very high inflation. But the reality is, if you go back and look at, you know, what happened in Zimbabwe, or you go back and look what happened in Weimar, or you go back and look in other places where there's been this sort of destruction of the currency and the loss of faith in government policy, you actually end up in a situation that at first actually stocks get crushed. And it's partly to do with the fact that people become a little bit desperate in terms of wanting liquidity. It's partly also a result of the fact that the costs, the what companies pay for their goods and services, goes up at a far faster rate, at least initially, than what they actually can sell their goods for. So you know, you see commodity prices jump much quicker than they can raise prices to the end buyers. And so in the end that leads to a situation where you find, you know, profit margins absolutely totally collapse. People sell stocks on the back of that and seek out other alternatives. Eventually there's a catch up. But if you go back and look at, you know, even the Zimbabwe era, I mean, you had a sort of wipeout in both real and nominal terms to begin with, and then things started to catch up later on as people realized that they better put their money somewhere before it becomes completely worthless. So that's kind of still my view. I think the stock market is incredibly vulnerable. It's a combination now of bad policies and hopeful fantasy-like thinking about the state of the world that's keeping equity prices propped up. I suppose if you're a cynic, you could say markets do what they do to hurt the most amount of people. Well, I think we're in an environment now where we have everybody, both bulls and bears, are afraid to sell the market, which is the perfect setup for a major wipeout. And I think that really describes my sentiments. And I do think that the stock market is incredibly vulnerable in the short run.
Well, is there anything like in regards to stock market or a piece of economic data or even a news event that you're kind of got your eye on and you think may come out and be real noteworthy in the coming months?
Well, I've been asked that, and I'm not sure if you're talking about in terms of the stock market or more generally about this sort of transition to the next phase. I don't know exactly what you're asking.
Well, more generally, I suppose.
Well, it's always I always take the view that, you know, they take in sort of civil lawsuits, a preponderance of the evidence. I mean, the reality is that in large economies like we have, there's always going to be some data point somewhere that gives you a conflicting message. That's just the nature of the beast. So I think you really have to look at it in aggregate. But, you know, for me, the real, there's two places to focus on is, you know, what happens in the currency markets and what happens in the bond markets. I think those are the places where you actually have more some greater element of rational thinking than you do in stock market. And you also have certain kinds of flows that I think are dominant in those markets. I mean, when capital is fleeing a country, I mean, it becomes obvious, more obvious in currency markets than it might be, say, in stock markets. So those are the two I would clearly focus on. For what it's worth, my short run view on the dollar, which I also mentioned in the book, was that I believe that there would be a major rally first in the dollar, partly driven by liquidity needs, partly driven by essentially the fallout from the financial crisis and the fact that there's this huge number of dollar claims around the world, and most of those are tied to institutions that have severe financial issues. So there's going to be a sort of a short-term squeeze type demand for dollars. But ultimately, I think when that is over, and people and the sort of broader fundamentals of the dollar are become more and more apparent, that's the point at which you want to be thinking about, you know, where you want to hide when inflation starts to accelerate. And You know, that I don't know the timing. I mean, I can make my best guess, but maybe that's 1 to 2 years off. I don't know. I mean, timing's always a little bit harder, just because you can't predict exactly what's going to happen in terms of, you know, policymakers' actions. But I would say 1 to 2 years is when we're going to see a transition, and you'll see that become obvious in like I said, in bond markets and fixing and currency markets.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm seeing. It looks to me like we may start seeing, you know, another leg up for the gold bull market start sometime next year. And one thing about predicting stuff, I remember back in 2002, 2003, reading stuff about the current account deficit for the United States being over 5%. And typically that's a time that, you know, leads to a crisis or something. And, you know, we didn't really see problems happen here till 2008. So it took a couple years. So like you said, timing is the toughest thing, but it's really important for people to understand, you know, what is going on. And I think your book and work certainly does that. If people, as we wrap up, could you tell people, like, if they want to go find out more of what you have to say or offer, where they should go?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I do actually run the site, financialarmageddon.com. Mainly, I try to keep sort of tabs on what's really happening with the in the real economy. I also touch on other aspects, both social and political, as well. But I guess it's kind of an antidote to some of the stuff that you see in the regular papers. But that's really my sort of main focal point these days.
Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to everybody, and hopefully sometime in the future do another follow-up interview.
All right. Thanks for having me. That's great. Appreciate it.